Welcome back to MP Access. My name is Ekaterina, and today we are here in New Orleans for Velocity 2026. And joining me, Tom Simon. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
For those who don't know you, let's start with your background first. Share a little bit about yourself and your company.
So I've been working at the intersection of technology, human capital, and business performance almost my whole career. And I see Accelerus as an extension of that. My last few roles, I was the chief talent officer for those companies, which kind of leads to our topic today, where I was responsible for developing talent, et cetera. And I was exposed to Accelerus in the spring of 2020, and since that time, I've been leading the Accelerus team.
So what first got you into that field?
The talent field?
Yes.
As I grew up in large companies, I worked for companies like Hewlett-Packard, Motorola, some very large, global, successful companies. What I came to realize, I started out in technology, but what I came to realize is how critical the talent side, the human side of business was. So I saw examples of what great leadership can do for organizations and for people, and what bad leadership can do. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's an opportunity to take technology, move into that space, and really help organizations optimize their talent. When I left corporate in 2016, I actually started my own consulting firm, and it was on that topic. So I was helping and work with probably 35 to 40 companies related to something, talent, whether it was structure, leadership, training, et cetera. And I felt like that's a piece that's not as well supported by companies. They don't always know how to do it well, and I felt like that's an area where I can really make an impact. So mm-hmm. I created a passion for it, and I've pursued that ever since.
Mm-hmm. So Accelerus, let's talk about the company. Can you give us a quick overview of what the company is really about?
Yeah, so we help companies leverage technology to accelerate the revenue growth and their success of their organizations. So our platform provides a workflow task-based system, a web-based system that helps companies manage everything from foreclosure through disposition of properties. We were founded in 2006, but at the pace that we're innovating, I consider ourselves to be a 20-year-old startup company, because we're during COVID, when the industry was basically shut down, we went back to the drawing board and said, now's the perfect time to transform our platform, transform our company. We rebranded ourselves. We updated our website, and most importantly, we looked at our platform, and we basically created a whole new human interface, and we've been innovating ever since.
So AI is a huge part of your company.
Yes. We are using AI in a number of different ways, much more to come on that, but I'm sure we'll talk more about AI and how organizations are leveraging that. But yeah, that's a great opportunity for our industry, for our company, for our talent. So we're excited about what that's bringing.
Mm-hmm. So you suggested the topic, the human element of AI, for this episode.
Yes, I did. What
does that phrase mean to you?
So based on my background, you can see where my mind went when we discussed this. But I've always said talent is the most expensive and the most underutilized resource in any organization. And I don't think AI is going to change that. So we talk about AI as a technology conversation, but I really believe it's a business performance conversation. And business performance is, how can we help our people bring their best every day? How do we get the most out of our talent? And how do we use AI to amplify talent instead of replacing talent? So to me, the human element can't be left out of the conversation. It's not just going to be which organization has the most AI tools. It's going to be which organization has the best talent that's leveraging AI to deliver better performance results for themselves and for their customers. And that's how we're using it at Accelerus as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a success story of how AI and Accelerus helped a client?
Well, we're right in the midst of that as we speak, so I can't go into that in too much detail. But we're basically using AI to work side by side. So every day, every leader should be asking themselves, how can AI help me with what I'm about to do? So I use it personally to think about strategic partnership deals and what the construct of those agreements might look like. I also use it to, frankly, to say, what are the skills and capabilities of our team and our organization and our platform, and how do we leverage some of those to move into some different areas, and we've come up with some really interesting results. But I also told my, when we first started talking about AI to our team, I think this would be important. It's really easy to say, let's use AI to make ourselves more efficient. So there's things that businesses do that I would say are, I call it behind the curtain, which is they're things that are really important. It helps our business run. It's important to our customers because it helps us to serve them, but it's not as visible. So the things behind the curtain are really the kind of the first place people's minds go is, you know, let's make this more efficient, let's write code faster, whatever happens to be, which is important. But then what does the customer see? So I also tell my team, yeah, let's use it to make ourselves more efficient, be able to do more. But at the same time, what are the things we can use AI for that would be most meaningful to the customers? How do we help this use these tools in a way that helps them grow their revenues? It's got to be a balance. If it's all just we make ourselves more efficient, but the customers don't notice or don't care, that's not good in and of itself. So now how do we move forward and say the things that are in front of the curtain that the customer sees, what are some things we can offer to them to make their jobs easier? And those are the things I can't speak in too much detail about here, but those things are coming. And
so you mentioned balance.
Yes, a balance. Exactly.
Is there anything that AI cannot replace in Accelers?
I would say, so first of all, let's all remember AI does not have a heart, right? It's a technology. It's going to answer the questions you ask it. It's going to go into the topics that you suggest. But when it comes to the human interface of relationships, the things that require empathy, those are the things that AI might be able to help you and be more informed to make those decisions, but you can't let AI get between you and the customer. Mm-hmm. So I would never want to go to one of our customers and say, well, AI suggests this, or AI told us this, so here's what you should do. Our job is to inform our customers to say, here's data, here's some insights maybe you weren't aware of, here's how we're leveraging our data to provide you those insights. But ultimately, the decisions on those have to be made by you. I wouldn't want to say, well, because of AI, and think AI is going to be accountable for it. Myself, my team, our clients, our customers, they still need to be accountable for their ultimate decisions and the actions they take, whether or not it's informed by AI. But don't say it's, you know, AI made me do it. That's not going to work, right?
Does AI ever scare you, that it gets a little too smart nowadays?
It's less about too, it's a great question. It's less about too smart, but it's more about how we might abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
So letting AI get in front of some of those conversations that are really more human-driven, just like legal. Like there's some things that, could we legally do this? Yes. But it's still not the right thing to do. So mm-hmm. there's no law that says you can't, or maybe the contract says this is the way it should be, but sometimes as leaders, we all make decisions that I'm going to make my decision in favor of the relationship instead of the contract, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So the abuse of that to say, well, you know, here's what AI says, therefore that's the answer. I don't think that's where we want to go with AI. I think AI scares a lot of people because I think a lot of people are concerned, like, is AI going to take my job away? So I would say, if that's how people around you feel and you're a leader, that's a leadership development, a leadership, a change leadership opportunity for you. Because if that's how people are viewing AI, that it's something to be afraid of, it might replace my job. I think as leaders, we need to paint a vision for how AI is going to help us without necessarily eliminating jobs. It's all about helping us be more effective
mm-hmm.
as individuals and how we contribute to our organizations.
So in your opinion, what is the most practical use of AI in mortgage industry or maybe outside of it too?
So I would say, first and foremost, find the friction in your business. So one of the biggest opportunities for AI, in my view, is allows us to take back our time and repurpose our time in a different way. So I said this on a panel yesterday. If I lose $100,000, I can make that money back. If I lose 100 hours, I never get that time back. So there's a lot of things that we do in our business and elsewhere as professionals, as leaders, that are important that must be done, but it's not necessarily the best use of our time. And there's a lot of things that probably the audience does that are things that aren't necessarily helping them grow their business. So that to me is a practical place to start. Say, let's find the friction, Let's find things that we're spending too much time on. It's repetitive. Can we have AI do that for us? In a way, delegate that to AI, if you will. And then take the time that we're able to save and say, now, how can I use that time better to think of new ways to serve our customers, to build deeper relationships, et cetera? There's the biggest opportunity, mm-hmm. is managing our time, a very precious resource.
What about the human side of it? Do you think humans should still control AI, or should AI be just like a toaster that works on its own and you just trust the process?
To me, it would be like having a room full of interns with PhDs without any direction. So imagine that. So we should not let AI kind of run on its own. It requires human oversight. That's another connection to the human side. Is I view my role as I'm responsible for the direction of our organization. I want AI to assist me with that, but it's not AI's job to direct, come up with a strategy for our company. I have to own that as the leader. So I think there's ways to leverage AI, but we should never let AI kind of do its thing unsupervised. To me, that's an opportunity for some dangerous things to happen.
Mm-hmm. So. And you mentioned a little bit about the fact that AI doesn't have a heart. What kind of scenarios or situations were you talking about when you said that?
Things that are, again, it goes back to the human element. So we deal, unfortunately, with some situations where people may lose their homes because they're foreclosed on. Some of the people in the audience deal with borrowers, and there's a lot of hardship conversations. And you never want AI to be making those decisions. So we have to be empathetic, we have to be supportive, we have to be understanding. It can't just be an algorithm that leads us to this set of data that makes that decision. Sometimes we have to override that decision. And that goes back to my example earlier of maybe legally we can do something, but we decide for the sake of a relationship or the sake of empathy or the sake of what do we as a company want to be known as, we're going to make a different decision even though the data might suggest otherwise.
Mm-hmm. What about some processes that should be fully automated? Can you give me an example of that?
Anything that, I know a lot of organizations talk about call center, using AI for call centers, you're talking to a bot. I think to some extent that makes sense if it's you know, we all use it for airlines, hotels, whatever. It makes sense if it's a transactional conversation. But if I'm an irate customer who's got a big issue and I'm on an airplane that's stuck somewhere and I have to get home because my wife's delivering something like that, it can't just be a bot that I'm going to talk to. I have to have a human interface that, for the sake of that relationship, at least that it can opt out of the bot conversation or the AI conversation and get to a human voice. Mm-hmm. So those are the things. It's the transactional, the repetitive, the things that are just the course of doing business. But when it comes to maintaining those relationships, I think that's where we need to keep that human interface mm-hmm. in there. And the same thing for the technology side. If AI, an AI engine runs our code or develops code for us, we're never going to take that code and put it into production without having some human oversight, doing mm-hmm. some kind of code review, because there's insights that humans are going to have that AI is not going to always know the answer for. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we have that oversight before it goes into, in this case, in production. And I wouldn't want anybody in my team or anybody in the audience to feel like, well, it was AI's fault. It was AI developed this code, so if there's a bug in it, like, you know, don't look at me. Well, no, if you're, again, delegating to AI, having AI do something for you, my name's still on it. I still have to own the outcome of that. Even if AI came up with the suggestion, I still own that.
What about the companies that only use AI and everything is fully automated? What is most likely going to happen?
I think those will be more transactional, and I think humans still look for that human experience. And again, if they're transactional things, I think those companies could be successful. But if it's relationship-oriented, there still has to be a trust element. I think that's where those companies will stumble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the business requires that relational piece, I think just an AI solution is not going to be effective.
What about the speed of the process? Like, how do you balance that? And how do you initially make that setup where, you know, this is the recipe of success. AI is taking over this piece of work.
Yeah.
Humans are taking over this piece of work. How do you keep this puzzle?
So fast does not mean reckless. So if we can generate code, if we can make, we can get to decisions, if we can do things faster. I mean, there are situations where we're going to see things that used to take months be done in hours or minutes. That's just the reality of it. But I think we need to make sure that there's guardrails for that, make sure that we understand the implications of that. And if there's some human oversight and review, that has to be put into the timeline. It can't just be, hey, it's done in seconds. It's, okay, let's make sure that what the output is meets the requirements. We're not getting ourselves into any trouble there, and that's still going to have to be in. So we might be able to do some tasks a lot faster, but that human oversight still has to be into the mix. So if it takes a little bit longer because we're having a human eyeballs on it to double-check it, it's still going to be a significant improvement in how fast we can do things, which is very positive for businesses. Anytime we can do things faster, that means we're getting more done with the same level of resources that we have. So from a business economic standpoint, it's fantastic. But what you don't want to do is do it so fast that it becomes reckless. And next thing you know, well, we had this part of it done very quickly, but it created so many problems down the line that now we've got all this time spent on fixing things that the quickness of what we did it in that created.
Mm-hmm. It's 2026 right now. What do you think AI will look like in 5 to 10 years from now?
I don't know if anyone knows the answer to that. If they say they do, they're making it up, but
let's just imagine.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hard to say what it will look like. What I know is that the pace of change is only going to get faster. So if I don't think AI is our enemy, I think the status quo is our enemy. So if I'm making decisions today that are comfortable to me, or I'm making decisions today because I had an experience with this situation 10 years ago, 5 years ago, several years ago, and that gives me comfort, I should question that, because the status quo is what's going to hold us back. So if you look into the future of what AI is, I think a lot of people say, well, it's going to eliminate all these jobs. The question is, what jobs will it create? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tech companies that are laying people off. There were some big announcements with Google and others yesterday that we heard about. So to me, does that mean that AI is replacing those jobs? Maybe. Could it mean that those companies have overhired for some of those positions? Could it mean that because of AI and other solutions that are out there, some of the things those people were hired to do are no longer as important? I think that's the issue. So again, what's yet to be defined is where are those jobs going to move to? So with technology, with the pace of change, those things don't typically eliminate industries overnight. What it does is it shifts advantage from one place to another. So I'll make up an example. Google, the search engine, they built an organization, highly successful, made tons of revenues over the last number of years because of their search engine. Well, now with AI, I'm not sure how often people go to Google for searches anymore. They go somewhere else.
I do.
No, maybe
still.
Well, still, but in total, probably not to the same extent. Mm. So in that case, there's still search activity happening. It just isn't necessarily Google's solution for that. So I think those things are going to change a lot over the next number of years. I think what we come clear in that period of time is what are those jobs and those opportunities that it's creating. So with great change comes great opportunity. And I don't think we've seen the extent of that opportunity quite yet. I think the current hype around AI is probably over-exaggerated, kind of in its current state, but the longer-term implications, I think, are underestimated, I think, as we understand more of this. So I would think most things that require knowledge, a lot of those things are going to become almost second nature, like breathing, because we have so much access to that now so quickly. That's going to change a lot over the next number of years.
Yes. What about humans? Human side of AI. Are we going to get lazier?
You know, that's when you ask about the fears, that triggers a thought is, are we going to no longer know how to learn? Mm-hmm. So you think about the implications for education to me is huge. So my grandchildren, if they have to write a paper, they're going to be so conditioned to, well, I wanted to get to write a paper, and I went on chat or some other tool, and I asked a few questions, and here's my paper. It's kind of like, I'll age myself, but when calculators, and I wasn't around when those calculators were invented, but if you think about what it takes to do a math formula or a math equation, we still had to understand that, even though the calculator could do it. So we had to understand the thinking behind the tool that allows to do it faster. It's the same thing with learning. If I can get the answer to any question I can imagine, and then some, just by the either a voice command or typing in it becomes too easy to get the answer without knowing what it took to get the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, we could know things, we could have all that knowledge at our fingertips, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we understand. Mm-hmm. We could know more but understand less, because, to your point, I can get the answer too quickly and too easily without having to do the work behind it. Do I no longer understand how to learn? And I'm just, well, if I need to know something, I'm going to go use my AI tool.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think about what the implications are for that going forward.
You know, it might sound controversial. I am Gen Z. I was born in 99. And I feel like my generation was the last one to actually learn something in university, school, etc. Because right now I'm seeing everybody posting who is 21, 22 in college, how they are just cheating on exams using ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And passing all of them with A's.
Right.
And I couldn't do that.
Right.
AI was not around yet.
That's a great point. So then if you think about that, it's how does the education system need to change? Because causing you to memorize things and then having you take a test to see if you memorized it,
mm-hmm.
is that the best way to learn? Is that the best way to know that people learned? And maybe with AI and the situation you described, we need to rethink our educational models.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the company's side of things, what role should people play in reviewing, guiding, and validating AI-generated recommendations?
So that's the human oversight. That's, I think, where compliance comes in. The compliance, to me, says, what are the guardrails we need to put in place? So our team, we hit the brake a little bit on AI to say, before we just run off and start using the best tool we can find, let's think about, how do we transition from where we're at? What's the right tool set? How do we maintain compliance? How do we maintain the right kind of authenticity with our clients? That we need to make sure those guardrails are in place before we just run off and start doing AI. I think one of the biggest problems with AI is I would call it AI everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, hey, AI, everyone's using AI, go find a way to use AI. Go use AI for everything without any thought or any of those guardrails. To me, if that AI is not keeping you in compliance, if it's not helping you deliver business results, if you're not clear what the outcomes are that you're expecting from using these kind of tools, I call that a distraction. It's like chasing squirrels. It's like, here's the next exciting thing, let's go there, and we get tired of that, go off to the next thing. I think that can create a lot of chaos inside organizations if you're not thoughtful. Thoughtful doesn't have to mean it's necessarily slow, but let's put some human thinking and some thought into mm-hmm. how to do this the right way, and I think that will prove itself out over time.
So you think the biggest challenge with AI is not the technology itself, it's how companies implement it?
Yes, yes. The tech, activating a technology really doesn't mean that you've transformed your organization. So what transforms organization is adoption. So I was involved with the past with a system that a company I was with, they spent tens of millions of dollars on this system. They were sold on putting a system in place because it was going to generate $100 million in savings. And it took, supposed to take 2 years, it took about 3 years to finish. When the system was turned on, the CFO for that business said, okay, we started this because we're going to save $100 million. Where's the $100 million? And the person in front of the room said, well, the $100 million savings was going to come from us changing how we do distribution. And the person that runs distribution has never really been a supporter of this new system. So my point is, it's the adoption and it's changing how we do business that's going to generate the results from this, not just the fact that we turned on the tool.
Mm-hmm.
So when we activate a system or turn on a new technology, that's not the finish line, that's the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
Now that technology is going to help us do things differently, which is why we did it in the first place, how do we make sure that we get the benefits of that after the tools are put in place?
Mm-hmm. So what questions should executives ask AI before they are adopting it?
So what I ask is, so what outcomes are we going to expect from this? We're going to use this tool. what benefits is this going to produce for our customers, how it's going to help them grow their business, how it's going to help us better serve our customers, how does it help our team be more effective, have we done due diligence on is this the best tool, et cetera. And then that question that you've asked a couple times is, what are the things that we're going to put in place to make sure that there is some human oversight of, we can't just trust that AI generated this and therefore we're putting it out there without us first having that human oversight. So it's kind of a, hey, this is great, let's go do this, this will help us move quickly, but it can't just be reckless. It has to be, let's get some thought to what problem we're trying to solve, why we do this in the first place, and if this AI tool is successful, how would I know that we've achieved those? So if you have good KPIs, good metrics for how you run your business, I would say stick with those and go back to those when we're talking about technology, because that's basically another tool to solve a problem. So what problem are we trying to solve? How are we going to know we're going to solve it? How is this tool going to help us? Let's go down that path. And then as we're implementing it or when we're done implementing it, let's go back and say, okay, now show me where we've seen that kind of improvement, because that's why we pursued this tool in the first place.
Okay, so what role does compliance play when it is used in servicing, default, or borrower communication?
So compliance is a way to earn trust. Your customers have to trust that you're going to provide services to us, but those services can't get us into trouble. It can't come back to bite us later. And just like anything else, but particularly in AI, that's where the compliance piece comes in. It's got to be baked in up front, not bolted on it as an afterthought. So how do we leverage compliance, again, to give us those guardrails and make sure that what we're going to do with AI, we can still justify, we can still defend, we can make sure that it's not going to create other issues. And nothing will break the back of AI, if you will, or lose its momentum more than it creates other problems, other business risks that they didn't anticipate. And I've been in situations where people start adopting things, there's a lot of momentum behind it, and then whatever they're adopting causes a major problem. And sometimes the reaction is an overreaction, say, okay, stop, we're not using AI anymore. And it's like, well, there's a bad part of it that we need to fix, but we shouldn't make a blanket statement that we're not going to use it. And I've seen that happen. I'm not saying that would necessarily happen with AI, but if it creates bigger problems than the value that it's bringing, there's going to be an overreaction to that, and people aren't going to trust it. So what I would hate is for us to lose, us as an industry, us as a company, to lose the opportunities AI brings because our customers now question. Imagine a world where a situation occurs where it causes a big, major public embarrassment, if you will, or some cyber risk that happens. And then every time you have a conversation with a client, so tell me again how you're using AI and how you're making sure that you start to get a lot more scrutiny. So I think we have to be careful not to lose the opportunity that it brings by having compliance not paid attention to or do things that cause some risk, some business risk down the road.
Mm-hmm. Do you think borrowers care whether you're using AI or not?
I think they care more of how they're being treated, the empathy that they're getting. I think we have to assume that in most situations with borrowers, if we're talking about a distress situation, there's some reason why that's happening. And I'd say we have to assume that it's some legitimate hardship that they have. So again, putting an AI with no heart in the middle of the conversation, that's when they're going to care. So whether or not it's AI, I think they're just going to be focused on what's the experience you're creating for me? How is this making me feel? Is this how the organization that I want to do business with or not? Nobody wants to interface with an organization that seems heartless. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when they would care to say, if AI is leading to this, then I'm going to have an issue with it. But at the end of the day, as long as I'm taken care of, I feel the empathy, I don't know if it's going to matter as much as what AI is doing.
Mm-hmm. And looking ahead, how do you think AI is going to help mortgage professionals in the future?
I think it can help, obviously, automate and simplify work. Back to that ability to take time. How do I shift my time from some of those repetitive transactional activities to the things that matter most to borrowers, to clients, helping them solve their problems and grow their businesses? I think AI can help us anticipate some of those situations. So I know that some of these things are already in place, but imagine AI tools that help borrowers or help us understand where borrowers may even start to get in trouble before they actually get in trouble. And if we can do some things to prevent a worse situation down the road, that would be, to me, a great use of AI. Mm-hmm. It's informing the decision. It's helping us be more proactive. It's helping us see patterns way in advance before it gets into a situation that is more out of control and something that requires a much more drastic reaction.
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give to those who are worried about AI and the fact that it might take their roles?
So I think it's less about taking your role, but if you're using AI to do your role and I'm not, my job would go away before yours, I think. So how do I use AI to become more productive, to amplify my contributions? And if they're worried about it, I would say, like any change, do you want to be a casualty of that change or do you want to benefit from that change? So if you're worried about AI, why are you worried? If you think there's parts of what you do or everything that you do in your role that can be replaced by AI, then what are you going to do to pivot into something where AI can't replace that? So what can I start to do now to develop myself, to learn more, to leverage AI to make myself more productive before it gets to the point where, well, hey, AI can do everything you do in one-tenth of the time at one-tenth of the cost. Don't let myself get in that situation. How do I pivot myself? How do I understand what I'm good at? And where are the areas where I can become indispensable, where I can be more valuable, and use AI to do that versus you don't want to compete with AI. You want to work with AI and make AI a partner of yours to make yourself more valuable and differentiate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, thank you so much for visiting me today.
My pleasure.
This has been very educational and very insightful. How can people get in touch with you and learn more about Acceleris?
You can go to acceleris.com, to our website there, and that's probably the best way to get a hold of us. We have a support line number. If you have any questions, concerns, feel free to reach out and connect it through that. But Acceleris.com, and love to talk and have you take a look at what Acceleris has to offer. And stay tuned for some what we think is exciting news coming down the road.
Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you for listening to MP Access. Until next time, stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out. We'll see you next week.